Hi everyone, welcome to another of our virtual videos for our ILS NYC 2022 conference. As you'll all be aware by now, we had to postpone the in-person event that was scheduled for February due to the pandemic, and we're now holding the event in New York on April the 22nd. We look forward to seeing many of you there, and you can still buy tickets. If you're interested to do so, just visit the Artemis website. But we wanted to run some interviews with our kind sponsors of the event so that we can showcase their thought leadership, what they do, and also thank them for their support. So for this one, I'm delighted to welcome Rob Hauff, Portfolio Manager at Vestu, one of our gold sponsors for the conference. Welcome, Rob. It's good to see you today.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here, and thanks for allowing Vestu to participate in this session.
Sure. No, good to speak with you, and always good to hear what's going on at Vestu. Obviously, you're a company that's been developing quickly, and Vestu is developing opportunities for risk transfer to be entered into efficiently, but also helping to unlock new categories of risk for investors as well through the work you've been doing in creating artificial intelligence risk models, and also the more recently developed Insurance Link Program, or ILP. So today I'm going to explore some of those developments with Rob's help. And to begin, maybe we could go back to basics and just revisit Vestu's strategy, and perhaps, Rob, you could explain how it's differentiated from other parts of the ILS market today.
Yeah, sure. I think this is a great place to start for Vestu as well. And just to remind everyone that unlike most of the ILS market that's focused on some form of catastrophe risk, Vestu's focus is more on the high frequency, low severity lines of business. You could think of this as the more traditional lines of insurance, where Vestu could provide reinsurance capacity to a cedent in a variety of ways, whether it be treaty, runoff, stop loss, quota share. You know, Vestu's ultimate strategy is to become the marketplace where the need for reinsurance capacity marries up with the capital markets. There's obviously a track record for institutional investor involvement in the ILS space, but I think it's possible to reach, as the reach improves with the introduction of lower volatility instruments that we offer, we could generate more consistent returns over time and obviously reach a broader audience of investors. And possibly there's an avenue for retail participation in the future. So we've got a chassis we're building that could potentially expand to that opportunity over time.
Great, thanks, Rob. That's a good summary. It's interesting that it's new classes of risk that are not so typical to the ILS universe, and then also how do you match that with capital and also potentially make the returns less volatile, even more sort of smoothing of the return stream using the technology that you guys are creating. And so the risks are definitely less typical. Maybe you could explain what sort of steps are being taken at Vestu to help make them more appealing to investors, or even make them investable in the first place, because often these are classes of business where people have been looking and tempted, but have not yet found a way to really make that work for capital markets risk transfer so far.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's a very interesting question. And to be honest with you, the answer has evolved for us a bit as we progress towards the strategy that we have in place today. You know, if we rewind a bit, the company's original vision, at least for the ILP business that I'm a part of, was focused around very remote layers of reinsurance risk. The idea was that fixed income oriented investors could post existing securities as collateral, and we would provide some level of yield enhancement over those securities, since the structure of stop loss deals can provide for a steady pass through of cash. Okay. We continue to have that as an option today, but we wanted to offer a broader product with higher returns. So we brought some quota share into the mix along with the stop loss, as well as participation in some of the structured note offerings that we have in the pipeline. So we have a blended return that we've built off of these three channels of bringing in risk. The result now is a product that compares favorably with, you know, if you look at something like inflation adjusted returns on the S&P 500, we have a product that compares favorably to that. especially if you factor in the lack of market correlation that's in our product. So it could look very attractive based on that. It also compares quite favorably to historic averages in the ILS market. Everybody knows it's been a pretty tough couple years in traditional CAT-based ILS. So we're hoping that our product can show some steadiness in what I would deem as pretty strong risk-adjusted returns compared to that asset class. So yeah, it's taken some tweaking to get it right, but I think we've got something dialed in that once we get out there is going to look pretty attractive to investors with low volatility.
Mm-hmm. And that plays to the sort of the current themes in the marketplace as well. I mean, the thing I'm hearing from investors constantly at the moment is the desire to access something differentiated, to access something that's diversifying within the insurance universe. And this really is a portfolio that they're not going to have access to through any other players really at the moment, unless they're trying to originate themselves, which is obviously fraught with its own difficulties. And that's why companies like Vest2 are best placed to do that sort of thing. So the Insurance Link program, it's a relatively new initiative at Vest2, and it sees you trying to bring in assets to support a portfolio of risks. You just explained sort of how that portfolio might look, but also uses your technology alongside that so that you can try and deliver even better returns. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how that's been structured, how it will work for investors, and perhaps touch on some of the entry points that investors and also cedents might have.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to talk about that. And I think this is a very important point in talking about our business. The ILP has been structured to cater to a variety of investors, okay, that may have differentiated risk appetites or needs. And we all know that there's different asset classes out there, different types of investors, that one instrument may not fit, you know, what the needs of another investor has. So all the entry points, though, I want to emphasize revolve around a collateralized insurer that we've built in Bermuda. And that will help us to fully collateralize risk for cedents, giving them maximum comfort for the exposure they're looking to hedge. So that's really the centerpiece that sits in the middle, okay? With that in mind, the first entry point is through a PNC fund that we've built that will allow investors to buy shares in a diversified pool of non-CAT oriented liabilities. And I'm calling this a PNC fund, not an ILS fund, even though it is truly an ILS fund, but we are differentiated from the rest of ILS, I think. With the fund, investors will share pro rata in the risk such that as the pool of liabilities grows, the expected loss across the portfolio steadily declines. Okay, so massive benefits of diversification in the fund. The fund will target a mix of transactions, as I said, across stop loss, quota share, and a modest participation in some of the note deals that I'll get to in a minute. But by structuring the fund this way, we can generate fairly steady returns along with cash flows that can be either returned to investors or reinvested back into the fund. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the first entry point. The second entry point is through structured note transactions that we've teed up and will launch over the course of this year. You'll see the first one in the first quarter of this year and possibly another one in the second quarter. AM Best has assisted us in providing ratings across the various tranches of one of the transactions. And we're talking to some of the other rating agencies about potential involvement in future deals. The fund, as I mentioned, will participate in the equity tranche of these deals, but it'll utilize Vest2 cash to buy shares to sponsor the equity tranche in these notes transactions. The third entry point will be via bespoke transactions. And this will come, I think, from experienced investors that may want their own sleeve within the collateralized insurer. Okay. And under this framework, investors could put either cash or existing securities up as collateral in these deals. And I view this as transactions that either don't meet the more conservative requirements of the fund or may meet some predefined criteria for the investors that they've established because they've got experience in this business. Okay. Investors also are differentiated from the fund in this entry point because they'd be getting participating notes as opposed to shares. so it can cater to specific investor needs on that front. And last, but certainly not least, I definitely don't want to make this the last point and try to de-emphasize it, because it is actually the most important point, I think, for Vestu, is the entry point will come from the marketplace. And this is what we are describing as the eBay for insurance, where both investors and cedents can transact on a dynamic technology platform that we've built. And the work our team is doing around this is truly amazing. And it probably will take some time to be fully operational, but this is where we see ultimately the lion's share of flows coming through our business over time as we become the marketplace for insurance.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And good to see all the different entry points there, because that gives optionality for investors as well, and should actually help to help to expand the ILS marketplace in time, as you're bringing new capital into new risk, but also probably appealing to a slightly different class of investor in some cases as well, which is positive. So that's all about the investment opportunity, but I guess more broadly, Vestu's using technology, pretty advanced technology, to enable structuring of unique risk transfer arrangements and then making them appealing to investors. But perhaps you could explain where the technology is adding value along the various phases of the deal process.
Yeah, absolutely. The technology that we have is deeply embedded in everything we do as a company, you know, from quoting risk to the risk modeling, portfolio optimization, as the AI continues to learn about the risks that we're running through the model, to the web-based dashboard we provide to both investors and cedents, so that they can track detailed aspects of transactions they're involved in as these deals season. And that is a very exciting element for me, to be able to see how performance is moving along, because these transactions are longer duration than traditional catastrophe deals, just by nature. Our technology is appealing to brokers and cedents, in my opinion, from a speed standpoint, you know, since we could quote and provide an initial term sheet in a matter of minutes on a transaction, and a fully bound policy could be closed in half the amount of time as usual, so long as the cedent provides us necessary underlying data. From an investor standpoint, the transparency of performance is a big highlight, and whether that's at the fund level or marketplace, it doesn't matter. The transparency of performance will happen for anybody involved in Vestu and transacting with us. And the marketplace, as I mentioned, you know, last but certainly not least, that platform will pioneer a new way to transact. Again, it could take some time to be fully operational, but, you know, I think this will unlock additional capacity across the market, provide service to cedents, consumers, businesses, and investors. It's really just a fantastic center point to expand access, affordability, and risk syndication across the market.
Yeah, and that's really important. That's a theme we cover at Artemis all the time, really, about the improvements that can be made to the sort of transfer and syndication of risk with the use of technology. And maybe you could expand a little bit and just sort of explain how this technology-first approach can help to create new categories of ILS, and more broadly, why this is important for insurance products as well, because ultimately we all want the benefits to flow down to the consumers, really.
Yeah, I think this is an argument that any business is having, you know, around the balance of utilizing human instinct versus, you know, allowing computing power and data to potentially, you know, take a biased view out of decision making. And managing that balance has become more difficult, I think, in recent years as computing power and AI has advanced materially. And that, I think, that struggle is going to continue to get worse as the AI and computing side continues to get smarter and more efficient. One thing I've definitely learned over my career, though, is that data doesn't lie. Mm. Right? So in some cases, you know, being so data reliant like we are, this could cause Vestu's pricing on deals to appear more conservative than comparable quotes in the market. But that is likely driven by something our technology sees in the data. right? So I do think as technology is adopted more widely in this industry, though, it will allow for lower costs, I think, which is, you know, cost is the one thing in this industry that, you know, I think any insurer or reinsurer I've ever talked to, they're trying to squeeze costs down. I think it will provide for broader access to coverage and a wider syndication of risk, you know, really making loss absorption more manageable. And I think longer term, you know, interplay, you know, where there are massive coverage gaps out in the market between economic loss and insured loss, you know, and how can technology assist us with closing some of those gaps down? And, you know, I think the industry is making some improvements in trying to close that gap down, but I think additional capital coming in, technology advancements, broader access is going to be a big way to close that gap.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think we're in for a game-changing decade, I think, over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, and see how fast the market can adapt and whether it can keep up with the pace of technological change, because it's coming pretty fast now. Rob, thank you so much. I really appreciate you spending some time with me today. And thank you to Vestu for the support for the conference, of course. It was great to speak with you. Thanks for sharing your insights with us.
Thanks so much for having me here. It was great to be a part of this. Thanks, Steve.